Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter, I'm J. Timothy Quirk. After living in Torrington for nearly 10 years teaching karate, Keith A. Much founded his own studio, Torrington Family Kempo, in 2003. Since that time, the studio has become a fixture on Winstead Road, and Keith A. Much has sought to take the principles he teaches and put them to use in his daily life in a way that helps to better our community. This year, Keith A. Much is preparing to create his own radio program on WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. So sit back and listen and enjoy our conversation with Keith A. Much on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. I'm here in the studio with Keith A. Much. Keith A. Much is the founder of the family, Torrington Family Kempo, which has been in business since 2003. He's also been active in the community, doing projects to help better the community, and we'll be talking about that and his intended radio program that should air this year. Welcome to the program, Keith A. Much.
Thanks so much. Thrilled to be here.
Now, Keith, let's first talk about one of the first ways that I met you, which was during the Clean Up the World Day.
Right.
That we were working, you were creating on the, working on a particular project that involved the entire city, and I brought my kids to assist that program. Tell me about that program.
It was great to have you with, there with us. Clean Up the World Day is a program started actually in Australia some years ago. We're the first town in Connecticut to do this particular program. It's very similar to the Earth Day cleanup project. What very often people, what comes to mind with a lot of people regarding Earth Day is, you know, a big balloon shaped like a globe and people playing games about, you know, I love the Earth. That's all well and good. It's a wonderful thing. But Clean Up the World Day is about specifically about getting your rear end off the couch and picking up some garbage. And it's been tremendously successful. You know, having two cleanup projects is necessary, I think, in this town, because it gets so much debris and garbage off the street, off the railroad tracks, by where Kmart used to be. And you know, there's a sense of camaraderie, some spirit. You know, we have, you know, conversations at the school about what is the strangest thing you found. Of course, we have to be careful on that particular topic.
Sure.
But it's you know, teaching kids to be, to have pride in picking up garbage is no easy feat. But if you can be energized and excited about it yourself, they pick up on that. They pick up the energy. The energy of that is infectious, of anything, really.
Sure. And one can have pride for the work that one does, and have pride in the way that something looks after something is picked up. So I think, you know, in this particular instance, pride isn't a bad thing. It's a very good thing. It's
absolutely
having pride for your community and valuing it so much. I think that's really what it is. It's valuing your community in a way that you want to better that community. And
that's
one of the principles that you have. Is that something that you developed over time since you've been here since 1994, if I understand that correctly?
Yes, sir.
Now, were you always involved in Torrington, or when you first started, did you participate in these type of activities? Or is this something that over time, the love of the community developed in you?
That's a very fair point. When I first came to town, I was simply learning how to do my job. It's like anything. You got to get your sea legs, so to speak, and learning how to actually do the everyday activities of the job. And as I did the job over the years, I met more people, got more involved in the community, and one thing that struck me and still comes to mind is Torrington is a very unique community. It's a big little town or little big town. But the point is, with 36,000 people living in Torrington, we have the amenities and the community of a much larger city. Mm-hmm. You can get anything you need in this town with a travel time of no more than 10 minutes. Okay, with traffic, 15.
Sure.
you go anyplace else. The rest of my family lives out in California, in San Diego, and to go to the grocery store takes 45 minutes to an hour. That's to get there. So it's one thing that a lot of people don't quite realize is we're remarkably lucky to live in this town, both geographically, environmentally. We don't have any serious issues. Yet there's an occasional tornado, in which case a barn gets destroyed. But it's a remarkable community, and I want people to recognize that.
And that seems to be a through line, if you will, for a lot of individuals who eventually do programs in WAPJ, is that they value the community and then they want to give back in a certain way.
Sure.
And they find that this is one of the many, methods that they choose to do that. They choose to help communicate and provide
Sure.
entertainment and information for the community. Let's talk a little bit about your idea for a radio program. What is something that you would like to see occur for your radio program for the community?
Okay, well, at my core, I'm a nerd or geek. I really, really like science, and I may be a karate teacher, but I understand that karate is physiology, anatomy, psychology, physics, and I try to put that in. I try to instill that in all of my classes. It's a matter of what is worthy of your trust. You come back to a foundation of something that is proven, something that is evidence-based, and then move from there. What I'd like to do in a radio show is have something that is science-based, something that it has nuggets of information that could be useful, and then expanding on that and making the evidence of the material available to the listener.
Okay, so you know what? It sounds to me like there are some elements of your teaching that are going to be infused in this particular program.
Absolutely.
And as I said in the beginning of in the intro, your principles are something that you not just that you don't only just teach at your studio, but it's something that you incorporate into your daily life. Is that correct?
Oh, I try.
Okay. And I assume that with everything. There are always challenges to doing that, but there are
Sure.
some principles. We'll tell you what, when we come back, we're going to talk with more with Keith A. Much about some of those principles that can be taught that is taught at his studio, but that can also be used in daily life, and that has formed a trajectory for him to help better our community. So we'll be back in just a moment on Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. We'll be back just after this. And we're back on Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. In studio with me today is Keith A. Much. Keith founded his own studio, Torrington Family Kempo, in 2003. Keith is also very active in the Torrington community. He will have his own radio program on the air. He's preparing his own radio program for air for this year. He attempts to use the principles that he teaches at his studio and put them to use in daily life. And that's where we left off. That's where I'd like to pick up our
Fantastic.
conversation. What are some of the principles that somebody might learn in your class that they could then translate and use that in daily life?
Well, the first things I teach the kids is self-discipline, self-control, and respect, which is a very familiar tenet in any martial arts training. What I like to bring into the teaching paradigm as well is something trust. What I try to teach in classes is self-control, controlling your reaction, self-discipline, which is simply doing the things that you know you should do, and respect, which is simply treating other people the way you would like to be treated. But what I also like to instill in any of my students is understanding of what a community is. A community is a group of like-minded individuals trying to make their environment better. We as a community in Torrington are an example of such. We in any particular room are an example of such, and a family, same thing. So we live in a community, and it is, I would like to think, is our responsibility to make that environment better. And we can only do that together.
That's excellent. Okay, so are there some ways that you started in your daily life to incorporate those ideas of self-control, or I guess that'd be the first one. You mentioned self-control.
That's not an easy one, is it?
No, it isn't. It's something that we must all strive for. I assume whether one is a master at a particular form or not.
Sure. Well, self-control, I think, is one of the hardest components of yourself to get a handle on. Self-control, we can define it as controlling your response or controlling how you act. And when we make a mistake or when we slip, we tend to vilify ourselves, which is unnecessary and self-destructive. And you might find that if you're patient with yourself and recognize that you're allowed to make a mistake, you can actually grow from that. Any experience that you might have throughout your entire life can act as a crucible to make yourself a better person. And in doing so, it will allow you to become more useful to your community and help the people around you.
Now, you have, throughout your time that I've known you, you've been doing that. You've been helping the community. And one of the ways that I mentioned earlier was the Earth Day and the Clean Up Torrington initiative. What are some of the other ways that you've been involved in the community? There's another one that I can recall. You were part of that Halloween trunk or treat.
Oh, yeah.
That was another one that was
fun
for the kids.
That
once again, I brought my kids to.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other ways that you...
Well, it's very kind of you. I try. I do my best to participate in community activities. It's each of the community activities that we do participate in is a chance for me to show my students what it means to be part of a community. If you love your community, you are a part of it, you should participate to make it, to help it grow. It can be a challenge because there is such a thing as donor fatigue. You know, when there's coat drives or food drives, there's a limit as to how much you can ask people to participate in any particular activity. So I try to pick and choose so I don't overload people. They're not going to want to walk in the door if every time they come in, I've got my hand out looking for some kind of donation.
Okay, that makes sense. So now you talked about self-control, but then in a way as you continued with talking about one being aware of oneself, it also then translates and becomes more altruistic to the community as a whole. Is it fair to say that when one focuses on just solely on themselves as if they were the center of the universe, then their problems become greater?
Yes.
And then they actually are. And when one focuses with a different mindset, then their own problems, their own issues become put more in perspective. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I've got a good analogy for that one. I'm a big fan of those. I have what I call the toothache analogy. If you got a toothache, your universe is defined by that searing pain. You can't focus on things. You can just think about, poor me, oh, this hurts, oh, this hurts. Then you're driving your car. You're thinking about that tooth, and a ball bounces across the road as you're driving. Your first thought is what?
Stopping the car. Yeah.
Right. There's a kid behind that ball.
Right.
Your toothache for a moment disappears because something else that was more important came up. That's normal. It's also normal for us to be somewhat selfish in recognizing that everything around us is referenced to us. What does it mean to us? That's not a good or a bad thing. That's just human nature. But we can can rise above that more base nature and make the world a better place for each and every one of us. That's also human nature. It's us as a species.
That's excellent. Now, and that's some of the principles that students may learn if they take martial arts training. Is that correct?
If they're listening.
Okay. Because for the uninitiated, if somebody did not know the information about what a martial arts training really is,
Sure. They
might think just in terms of movies or or the physical aspect of things,
yep,
and not necessarily the psychological components that that drive the actual training. Is that, would that be a fair?
Absolutely. People have a couple visuals in their mind before they walk in. It's either Kwai Chan Kane and smoke billowing out or Cobra Kai, you know, from the Karate Kid. It's hard to know until you're brave enough to simply walk in the door. But I'm happy to say that you know, being in town for as many years as I have been, many people either know me or they know someone who's been taught by me, mm-hmm. and gives them a reason to walk in and have a conversation, which I'm very grateful for.
What do you think is that motive to bring somebody, or that make somebody walk into the studio?
Oh, it's incredibly personal to each particular person.
That makes sense.
I would like to think that they are into expanding their skill sets, their personal skill sets. I'd like to think that they would come in because they're ready for a new challenge. Some people do come in because they've had a traumatic experience. I've had that happen before, in which case, you know, I do the best I can to handle their particular circumstance with as much empathy as I possibly can. But of course, that's only if they open up to me, which doesn't happen right away. But it's a relationship. It's something that comes out over the years that people are with me.
I assume that there is a very large level of trust that has to occur at some point when somebody is learning the
yes.
skill sets. And it's more than just the skill sets, but it's also the active participation and trust of
yeah.
their teacher. Is that their fair assessment?
Very much so. I can't state it enough. I'm incredibly grateful for the trust that people put in me. But what I try to point out also that whereas I appreciate the trust that people have in me, I would prefer that they trust in the information that I'm giving them and that they can verify it for themselves. I've run into issues where people put more trust in me than they do in the information, and that's a slippery slope. They need to trust what they can verify for themselves.
Okay. And that's you know, good information and a good way of looking at it, no matter what you are learning.
I would agree, but I'm biased.
It's the information that's the key here, and the messages that you're conveying is what you're trying to say. Trust the message. And the messenger is just the conveyor of that.
Just a vehicle. The messenger is just a vehicle. That's you're absolutely right. And there's so many levels to this. They can't be easily put into a nutshell because everybody's experience is entirely different. You know, people are remarkably multifaceted. You can see the physicality of a person, but you cannot see their entire history. You cannot see, where their experiences may actually lead them. All you can do is be there for them and give them, as a teacher, bring out their own brilliance, because everybody is remarkably intelligent if they're given the opportunity to express themselves.
Now, when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Keith A. Much. Keith A. Much founded his studio, Torrington Family Kempo, in 2003, and he is preparing to create his own radio program for Torrington's WAPJ later on this year. We come back on Nutmeg Chatter. We're going to continue our discussion. We're going to be talking about Torrington as a whole and some different ways that individuals can become involved within their community while using the lessons that can be taught while learning martial arts.
Awesome.
So we'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. I'm in studio with Keith A. Much. Keith A. Much founded Torrington Family Kempo in 2003. Since then, he has been very active in the Torrington community. We've been talking about some of the principles that individuals who learn martial arts can then incorporate those principles in their daily life and then help to serve and better their own community. And one of the ways that we talked about earlier in our discussion was about the Clean Up the World Day and Earth Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just in terms of providing some entertainment, you were
there.
I remember you had the kids during the trunk or treat.
Yeah, that was
fun. Do some activities, if you will, some fun low level in terms of stress level activities.
Nobody got hurt.
Right, exactly. During the trunk or treat episode. It's just one of the many different ways that you've been involved in the community. What's another principle that you think is one of the guiding principles of martial arts that can be used in one's daily life?
Sure. Confidence. When you encounter a crucible or a point in your day or a confrontation, if you've had some martial arts training, it can help change the dialogue options that come up. If it's a crucible related to an experience that you're having right now that has nothing to do with another person, you stub your toe, you lock your keys in your car, things that happen to everybody, having some martial arts training can help you regulate your response and recognize that simply stubbing your toe doesn't mean you're going to have a bad day. The expression, "I got up on the wrong side of the bed," is a lame excuse for all the people that you might be snippy with that day. You're not going to get a free pass on that. When you have a confrontation with another person, if it's simply an argument, you can recognize that the other person, through understanding what respect is, you can recognize that the other person has a valid point. Even if they're getting overly emotionally invested in that point, you can let it go. You can walk away recognizing that's being right. Would you rather be right or happy, I think, comes to mind. You can walk away. If it's a confrontation where this person may actually mean you to some degree of harm, you can notice or you can recognize that you can take care of yourself. And when they see that in your eyes, it's going to change the dialogue options, and they may simply walk away. When people recognize that you're not a victim, it changes the dialogue options. And that is actually one of the most, in my particular opinion on this, one of the most valuable lessons that anybody can learn from any martial art.
And when we're talking about confidence, we're talking about a positive kind of self-confidence in one's own ability, not an overconfident that's not the term that we're using.
Oh, but, good point.
We're talking about just the confidence, that positive way that we look at ourselves and recognizing our skill sets and our strengths.
Sure.
And having some confidence also is being aware of our positions. You were talking about if there is any particular confrontation.
Sure.
Being a confident person is also being aware of when one is wrong, and one can accept that without
sure.
saying that this is going to damage my person just because somebody has a different point of view that actually has a better point.
Sure.
Is that a fair, a fair assessment?
Spot on, yeah. Actually, it comes to a psychological term, fixed mindset versus growth mindset, and also ego. Got to be careful bringing up the term ego, because a lot of people relate it directly to egotism. We all have an ego, which is simply our sense of self. You have strong ego simply means your reference point, your self or self-image is strong enough where nobody's going to knock you out of that reference point. If you have a strong ego, you can accept new ideas without thinking that you've lost. Mm-hmm. You know, we are, as a species, we're built in such a way to communicate with reasonably effectively with other people. Well, maybe not so effectively some days. But the reason why our noggins are as big as they are is not simply to compute data. The reason our heads are the size they are, the reason our brains are so complex and involved or evolved is to form communities. As a species, we would have died off a long, long time ago if we weren't able to form communities.
Okay, and so it sounds to me like there's an idea of being centered.
Yes.
And not just, that would definitely seem to be something that would be tied not just to one psychologically, but also in the physical aspects of the martial arts
yes.
training that you provide.
Yes.
Somebody has to be centered and know where they are, where their body is, and
absolutely.
Is that fair?
Well, safety and security have to start with understanding your environment. One of the first things I would ever teach in a Tai Chi or a stress management class is, where are you right now? Do you feel your environment? Can you hear the sounds around you and recognize that you are right now safe?
Mm-hmm.
If any of the listeners are familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the fundamental basis, what has to happen before anything else is, well, air, then water, then food, and then safety, security, belongingness in a community, love, and then self-actualization at some point. But it's got to start with the basics. If you don't start with the basics, safety and security, you can't evolve as a human being past that point.
That makes sense. Okay. Well, as we wrap up our discussion here with Keith A. Much, who is the founder of his studio, Torrington Family Kempo, we want to just talk a little bit about the radio program that we may air. We talked about a little before, and you talked about science, and there's certainly a lot of science in the background of martial arts. Are there any other things that you enjoy, science that is outside of the martial arts?
Oh yeah, it's all related. I'm a big fan of anything that is science. I've had many conversations with my teacher about quantum mechanics and the fact that neither one of us really quite understands it, but it's neat. I mean, we're living in a remarkable time. When you and I, Joe, were both kids, we knew there was a planet called Pluto, and there was a little tiny dot. Now it's not a planet anymore, but we have high-res images. How incredible is that? It blows my mind. It's really – so that's what I try to instill with the kids when I'm teaching them, is how remarkable a day we're living in as a society and as a species. I get kind of excited as you notice.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your program and hearing the different ways that you are going to be able to convey these ideas of science, making them fun.
Yeah.
Because I think when there is an excellent science teacher, they can certainly transform the world. Because suddenly you look at the world in a different way, in a different place. The mechanics of things become more fully realized and understood because there was somebody who was able to take the information.
Sure.
And again, here's where we talk about the information.
Yeah.
Over, you know, a particular person, but the particular person conveying that message can make a huge impact.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be political. Politics has nothing to do with science. You take a look at what science has gotten us. Everything to this point, you know, people, by our age, only 50, 60, 100 years ago were crippled frequently. People did not live nearly that long. We have science to thank for all that. We have science to thank for the fact that you can hear this right now.
Well, I'm enjoying the technology that allows us to be able to share the information about the individuals in our community over the airwaves, over the radio, WAPJ 89.9, of course, 105.1 FM.
Yes, sir.
WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. I want to thank you for listening to Nutmeg Chatter program. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. I want to thank my guest, Keith A. Much.
Well, thank you so much.
This has been a fantastic conversation. I think we've learned a lot. I think there's a lot more that we could cover.
Oh, sure.
And I'm sure that we'll come back and continue that discussion and also learn more during the discussions that you have on your own radio program on this same dial.
I'm learning so much from you, sir.
Thank you so much. I want to thank our listeners for listening to Nutmeg Chatter. Nutmeg Chatter is found on www.nutmegchatter.com. It can also be found on Facebook/Nutmeg Chatter, or just put into the search bar. I'm enjoying the opportunity to present this information here on WAPJ. Music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube royalty-free music. We want to thank you for that. And now we close up Nutmeg Chatter.